Good evening, cybersecurity and cryptocurrency fans. You're listening to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. I'm your host, Eric English. Today is a memorable day because it's September the 11th. And we all know what happened on September 11th. Huge tragedy. I'm not going to talk about that because it makes me sad. But we're going to talk about some fun stuff as it relates to crypto and cybersecurity. Been some pretty cool stuff that's happened. I missed yesterday. Monday was yesterday. I missed it. Sorry about that. But back at it today. Do have quite a bit to talk about here, so I'm going to try to get to all of it as quick as I can. So I'm going to start off with some cybersecurity news. It's been pretty crazy over the last few days. A couple of kind of FYI things for everybody out there. Brian Krebs tweeted an article today on his website about being able to now freeze your credit report. So I know this isn't really cybersecurity related, but it kind of is at the same time. You can freeze your credit report for free now with all three credit bureaus. I think it's going to start in the next, I want to say, week or two, where they'll actually allow you to do this for free. So that is really awesome. If you're not going to apply for a mortgage or a loan or a new credit card, you can freeze your credit for free. It is about damn time. I don't know what the hell took so long to allow people to do this for free, but it's finally here. Everybody can do it. So I highly, highly, highly recommend getting out there and doing that. Freeze your credit if you're not applying for a loan or a credit card or anything like that. You don't want any kind, you need to keep it open if you're going to get an apartment, if you're renting an apartment, you're looking for a new one, they're going to check your credit. So when your credit is frozen like that, you can't even see anything on it at all. So if you're going apartment hunting or house hunting, obviously you don't want to have it frozen. But if you're not going house hunting or apartment hunting, now is a good time to start freezing that credit and make sure that there's nothing fraudulent that shows up on there. I think this is just a great step forward in the right direction, and I'm super excited that we can do this for free. Now, they used to charge like $40 or something stupid to freeze your credit. And, we basically pay everybody's salary at all these credit bureaus. So what the hell? Why can't they let us freeze our credit? Well, now you can. So before, if you had some fraud and you called them and reported it, they would freeze your credit for free, which I've had to do previously. But now you have the power. And it makes it really nice. Services like LifeLock used to do similar things. So now you don't have to go get LifeLock. You can freeze your credit. I think it's going to take a pretty big bite out of LifeLock's customer base, at least if that customer base is somewhat smart and they understand that they can do the same thing that LifeLock was doing by just freezing their credit. So check that out if you haven't already. Brian Krebs, it's on his website, briankrebs.com. Go check that out. And freeze your credit, please. Also, don't use your debit card. We talked about that last week. So, going to jump into some other cybersecurity news. If you use the Tor browser, there's a zero-day exploit that was released. So if you use the Tor browser, now is the time to update it. I'll post the link to that in the show notes for today. Pretty big gap. So make sure if you're using Tor browser, make sure you get it patched and updated. I personally don't use the Tor browser, but I'm sure other people have their reasons that they would want to use it. They've also got, I believe I saw, they also have the Tor browser now for your phone, if they haven't already. I saw some sort of an update to it, although I didn't dig too much into it. So Tor browser is getting pretty big out there, but if you have it, now's the time to update it on all platforms. If you use a VPN, which I'm hoping that everybody that listens to this show knows how important having a VPN provider is, and two of the biggest ones, NordVPN, and what was the other one? Regardless, both of these vendors had some pretty big flaws in their VPN services that were discovered that basically allowed privilege escalation and all kinds of other horrible things to happen. Now, it's funny that a lot of these researchers find all these vulnerabilities, but oftentimes the situation has to be very perfect in order to exploit some of this stuff. So keep that in mind. I mean, having the VPN on is still better than not having a VPN at all. But, you know, it's, of course, if you're in that perfect scenario and somebody knows exactly how to exploit this, sure, they're going to be able to see what you're doing on your VPN. But either way, update their software. If you have NordVPN, it's time to go out there and get an update from those guys. They have already patched it, so go get their updated client for all of your platforms that you use it on. So get that updated. But again, it has to be a perfect scenario before you're going to actually get exploited with that kind of stuff. Last week we talked about the British Airways hack that happened, 300,000 credit cards that were stolen, credit card information that was stolen. And there's an article today that came out that said that they used a lot of the same tools and tactics that were used for the Ticketmaster hack. And this just goes to show that if you're a cybersecurity professional and you're tasked with making sure that your company is as secure as it can possibly be, and you don't read stuff like this and think, how can I protect myself from these kinds of things happening to my company and get out there and fix whatever it is right away, then you're probably not going to have a job for very long. It's so important to stay on top of these articles when they come out, figure out what the hackers did, figure out how that applies to your network and your environment, and then start doing some mitigations as best you can. Of course, you're never going to be perfect. You're never going to be 100% safe. I get it. But learn lessons from other people. That's the biggest thing that you can do as a cybersecurity professional. Learn lessons from other people's mistakes. Just like with anything else. You know, we make a mistake, we learn from it. It's the exact same thing. Learn from other people's mistakes. Learn from Ticketmaster. Learn from British Airways. Don't let this happen to you and to your company, whatever it is. In some cases, not all these breaches apply. You know, some of these might be point-of-sale types of attacks or mobile app attacks and things like that. And sure, you may not even have a mobile app. You may not even have point-of-sale systems. So maybe that doesn't apply to you, and that's fine. The point is to stay on top of these things. When they come out, new information is released about how the hack happened. We should all be learning about this and understanding how we can protect our own company. Because it will happen again, and it just might be your company. Do everything you can in your power to make sure this kind of stuff doesn't happen. But these hacker tools are out there. Everybody can grab them from numerous different sources. Pastebin, GitHub, some are built into Kali Linux. All kinds of places you can get these tools from. They're in a lot of the Kali Linux repositories. You just have to run apt-get install and then the repository name, and you can get damn near all these hacking tools that have been used. So protect yourself. Understand what these tools do and how you, as a cybersecurity professional, can prevent these attacks. Last thing I had for cybersecurity news is today's Patch Tuesday. There's a bunch of flaws that Microsoft is finally patching, four of which were already published exploits that have been, they've already been, you know, hacked in the wild. So Patch Tuesday is here. Patch all your stuff. Test your patches first and then roll it out to everybody else. But jump on it because these are some big ones. All right, I'm going to move over to cryptocurrency world. I've been setting up some masternodes. I'm still doing all of that, setting these up at AWS, having some really good success with it, so I'm digging it so far. If you're into that kind of stuff and you're tired of mining, masternodes are awesome. They're an awesome alternative. You know, mining uses all that damn electricity. You're just chewing up your electricity, chewing up your bill. And with masternodes, these are very, very minimal virtual machines that you have to have, and you can use them, spin them up at AWS or whatever cloud provider you want to use. AWS has those free tiers, that's why I like them. And it's perfect. You spin up one of these 1 gig Ubuntu boxes at AWS, it's free, run your masternode on that, and away you go. So anyway, check those out if you're into that kind of stuff. I'm usually going to masternodes.online to look at all the different cryptos that are out there that support masternodes and the ROIs and all that kind of good stuff. So go out there and check those out if you haven't already. And all my mining gear is officially turned off. I will probably only turn it back on if Ethereum ever comes back from this ridiculous dip that it's in. I had huge hopes for Ethereum, and I look at it now. Today it was trading at $180. I mean, what is happening? So I did some research, and there are quite a few crypto researchers that are saying that all of these ICOs that are happening, a lot of these ICOs sell off the Ether to help fund their projects. Well, apparently they're selling off billions of dollars in Ether to fund their projects. I mean, holy smokes, of course it's going to tank. And they just keep selling this off and keep selling it off. I mean, there's still another several billion that they're going to be selling off. It's just not good. It's not pretty. The outlook for Ethereum is just not pretty. It just keeps going down and down and down. Even when Bitcoin has stayed in the 6,000 range, Ethereum just keeps going down and down and down. I was talking about it a couple of weeks ago here on the show. You know, Bitcoin would go up, Ethereum would just stay the same or go down. It was just incredible. And, you know, typically, you know, at least in the past, Ethereum would go up and down with Bitcoin pretty much at the same rate. And this last 6 months or so, it's been horrible. Ether is on the big decline right now. There, you know, Ethereum was used or was built so people can build these decentralized apps on it and these crypto kitties and all these other collectibles and crap like that on there. But nobody really uses the decentralized apps yet that I've seen. Nobody is really using, what's the other one that they're doing? The D apps are the big one that really nobody's even using yet. And these ICOs are just selling off all that Ether to fund their projects. So Bitcoin's going up, Ethereum's going down, and there's really no end in sight for how low Ethereum is going to go. There's still other ICOs happening that are accepting Ether, and they're just going to go and sell it for Bitcoin. Or cash it out completely. So it's sad. It's very, very sad. Mining for Ethereum is completely pointless now, and I've switched away from Ethereum a while back now because of all of this, but the whole smart contract thing is very cool, and it's a great platform, but with all these damn ICOs, we're making the whole freaking market just tank. So now is not the time to invest in Ethereum or to mine Ethereum. The mining boom is pretty much over. At least from my perspective. And that's why I've moved on to these masternodes. You get way more in rewards for these masternodes. And depending on which one you pick, you can get some very good returns on your investment. And some pretty quick ROI, too. You may get fully repaid in, you know, 4, 5, 10 days. So, pretty cool stuff. But I'm so sad because the whole reason I got into cryptocurrency was because of mining. And I thought mining was just the coolest thing ever, and tie together all these graphics cards, and it was just so much fun to set it all up, too. And, you know, here we are. You can't even mine for it anymore profitably. It's just completely pointless. So Ethereum has to do something major to save its platform. I'm not sure what they're going to do or how they're going to do it. They do have a big code update coming in October that I talked about last week, I believe. So that is coming. I don't know what they can do, though, to bring their value back up. I mean, think about it. Last December, it was at, you know, $1,800 for one Ether. And now we're at $179. Oh, my God. It's really sad. Really, really sad. I do hope that Ethereum sticks around because the smart contracts are pretty awesome. EOS is built off of it. A lot of other cryptos are built off of that same technology. And it's definitely a great technology. The problem has been all these ICOs. So it's just going to get worse for Ethereum in the coming months. So get ready for the Ethereum decline. It's going to keep getting worse. It's still one of the top five, so that's good. But it's not looking pretty for the long haul. So anyway, other crypto news, you've probably already seen it by now, but the Winklevoss twins have started their own cryptocurrency, their own dollar-backed, U.S. dollar-backed cryptocurrency. So there's been other startups that have claimed that they're going to do this, and they never actually backed it with dollars. But the Winklevoss twins have taken it to the U.S., what did they take it to, the SEC or whoever, and they presented it to them, and everything is all good with them. And they're going to back it with the U.S. dollar for every one crypto. So that'll be interesting to see. It's called stablecoin, by the way. It'll be interesting to see how that does and how people react to it on the market. I'm certainly curious. I also don't know what that does for the value of that crypto. Does it go up or does it stay the same because it's backed with the U.S. dollar? I mean, I don't quite understand all the ramifications yet. I'm still kind of digging into it, but I thought it was a good idea. Other people have had the idea, but hopefully the Winklevoss twins actually execute the idea better than everybody else has thus far. That's still yet to be seen, but it is official that they are going to release it. And, yeah, I think that's just good. It's good all around for the crypto space. We need more stable coins that don't just freaking tank overnight. That's really what we need. So, all in all, a good sign for the crypto space. But that's really all I had for today. I wanted to keep it kind of short and sweet. And I appreciate everybody for listening. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at eEnglish34. I'm at eEnglish34 on Twitter. Hit me up on there if you got stuff you want me to talk about or you have questions or anything. Hit me up on there. Be happy to chat with you or to talk about some of the stuff on the show. And also retweet a bunch of the stuff that I talk about on the show on that Twitter account. So check it out, eEnglish34 on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we will talk again tomorrow.